You are listening to The Culture Radio. Only on The Culture. You are listening to The Culture Radio. Only on The Culture. You are listening to The Culture Radio. Only on The Culture. You are listening to The Culture Radio. Only on The Culture. You are listening to The Culture Radio. Only on The Culture. You are listening to The Culture Radio. Only on The Culture. You are listening to The Culture Radio. Only on The Culture. You are listening to The Culture Radio. Only on The Culture. You are listening to The Culture Radio. Only on The Culture. You are listening to The Culture Radio. Only on The Culture. You are listening to The Culture Radio. Only on The Culture. You are listening to The Culture Radio. Only on The Culture. You are listening to The Culture Radio. Only on The Culture. You are listening to The Culture Radio. Only on The Culture. You are listening to The Culture Radio. Only on The Culture. You are listening to The Culture Radio. Only on The Culture. You are listening to The Culture Radio. Only on The Culture. You are listening to The Culture Radio. Only on The Culture. You are listening to The Culture Radio. Only on The Culture. You are listening to The Culture Radio. Only on The Culture. You are listening to The Culture Radio. Only on The Culture. You are listening to The Culture Radio. Only on The Culture. You are listening to The Culture Radio. Only on The Culture. You are listening to The Culture Radio. Only on The Culture. You are listening to The Culture Radio. Only on The Culture. You are listening to The Culture Radio. Only on The Culture. You are listening to The Culture Radio. Only on The Culture. You are listening to The Culture Radio. Only on The Culture. You are listening to The Culture Radio. Only on The Culture. You are listening to The Culture Radio. Only on The Culture. You are listening to The Culture Radio. Only on The Culture. You are listening to The Culture Radio. Only on The Culture. You are listening to The Culture Radio. Only on The Culture. You are listening to The Culture Radio. Only on The Culture. You are listening to The Culture Radio. Only on The Culture. You are listening to The Culture Radio. Only on The Culture. You are listening to The Culture Radio. Only on The Culture. You are listening to The Culture Radio. Only on The Culture. You are listening to The Culture Radio. Only on The Culture. You are listening to The Culture Radio. Only on The Culture. You are listening to...
I have to admit that I enjoy talking to even a camera. People used to joke with me when I was younger and even when I was older that I would talk to a lamppost if I couldn't find a person. I always, having studied psychology a little bit along the way, I'm one of those people who believe you have to get some of these pressures, tensions, words out in front of you. But you have to be capable of kind of throwing them out and looking at them as though someone else said them, and what do you think about them? I've kept that title because I've liked it, the overall title, What Have We Got to Lose? Now, I'd be happy to say we've got nothing to lose. But then, if I'd say we have nothing to lose, we wouldn't be human. Because humanity, throughout history as I've looked at it, unless you're in a cave on the top of a mountain and that'll only last till somebody happens to crash into your mountain and find you, things always change. So We have things that we may not realize we have. And if we lost them, depending on how much we valued them or understood them, we might not even notice we lost them. For example, when this pandemic started, as we got into it and everybody was told to shelter in place, or whatever term you want to look, stay home, stay apart, that was the most basic understanding, saying, we don't have a vaccine. We don't even know enough about this disease. And we're going to try to learn as quickly as possible. And back when I had the Spanish flu in the early 1900s, we had about 1.5 billion people on the whole planet. Population-wise, with what we lost, was a great percentage of that. I'm happy that we're not getting anywhere near that percentage, because we're closer to 8 billion people right now. 7.7 and growing, whatever the exact number is. I haven't looked it up recently. So we have a lot to lose. I remember when China first opened up, and because the industrialization, I was still working in corporate America. The company I was working for was one of the companies that helped build power plants from way back in the early days. It grew out of Thomas Edison's early operations, just like General Electric did. So we had a history of building plants of any type, availability, whatever fuel you wanted to use. So we did a lot in the days when I was working, when they finally got busy on what was called REM projects, which was remediation. Well, we spent a lot of money to clean up the mess. It's like we all went on a picnic in the United States, but we were pigs and we just threw everything on the ground. Wrappers, packages, nothing. We figured our mother's going to come and clean up behind us. Unfortunately, when we don't have the understanding that if we mess the place up, we have to live with the mess. And this is just talking broadly. So whether it's a stench where we don't take care of a waste deposit, I remember years ago, and every now and then you do it, when I was driving down the Florida Turnpike, as it gets closer to the West Palm area and everything else and toward Miami and everything, there's a huge mountain of dirt. That was actually a waste depository. And what they do, especially since Florida is mainly quite flat, not absolutely, but quite flat, as more and more people move to the state, you need places where you put garbage. Now, we've gotten places where we start to incinerate it and burn it and do it. When it comes to the waste matter that comes out of our body, that goes through plants that nowadays, and even the old days, aerate the stuff to try and clean it up. I could tell you that New York City is such a big city that for many years they've developed this system where they actually sell the waste products when it's dried up. They package it and sell it as fertilizer. It's not a thing they advertise, but it's a real understanding that as beings, we leave off things. If we go exercise and we sweat on the pavement, if somebody doesn't clean it up, it's going to smell. The rain normally does that if we're outside, but if we're inside, what do? When you live in close proximity. So this pandemic started to teach us, we started to have respect. First responders are not just military who go into a war. First responders are people that, you know, you see them sitting around the firehouse like they're doing nothing. Is that what we're paying them for? Well, you may not be there when they run out on a fire. You may not be there when they go in a building that could collapse onto them or incinerate them. Police, they walk out on the street. You get people who are angry at different things. And I'm not just talking about what's happening right now. We will in Minneapolis. Humans react to this and they get pissed off. And unfortunately, humans do the stupidest things. We take it out on whatever's nearby. We'll take a rock and throw it through a window. Not our window. If it was our store, maybe we'd hesitate. But you know what? It could be our store. And you know what? We're all on this planet together. What's always bugged me since I was younger is the understanding that we obviously don't get in our thick skulls is that person next door or down the block or in the next state or on the next continent is another human being. I remember years ago when we were running through either a recession or a shortage, it was probably about 40, 50 years ago. And you know, you had inquiring photographers out there asking people, and of course the old people, they figured they've been around, they had these sage thoughts. Not always. But there was a little old lady that they interviewed on one station. And they asked her, they said, so what do you think about these things, the differences and the rest of it? And she just looked at them. I guess years of thinking about this stuff, or maybe she knew it when she was a kid. All of us should understand it. She said, there's only one race, the human race. And you know, she's absolutely right. Human beings are human beings. They come in different colors, just like cars do, just like refrigerators. In fact, every now and then for fashion, they'll change. Chrome will be the thing. I want stainless steel. You go buy a home that's 90 years old and it's in great shape, but you want brand new granite. So you got to cut a mountain down to put granite on there. There are many other things you could use. There's nothing wrong with having something that makes you comfortable, but there's something wrong with being uncomfortable in your own skin, not identifying yourself as a human being. If you just want to be a being, sit in the corner and talk to yourself. So what have we got to lose? We always have something to lose. If we don't recognize that if we don't take care of what we've been given, a life, a body, good health, if we don't take care of it, it doesn't take care of itself. If we sit there, and I mean, I love ice cream, and I love rich, real ice cream. I limit myself. I could sit down and eat a gallon a day if I wanted to. But I'd have to process excess sugars and stuff that I know I don't need. That our body is a wonderful system that if you give it too much, it tries to find a waste depository inside itself. So back to where I was. I'm driving down the Florida Turnpike, and many times I used to smell that smell that I knew was rotting stuff from people, waste materials. And as it rots, you get methane gas. People have heard about it. If you're old enough, you remember there was even in New Jersey, there was a place where they used to drop a lot of waste over the years, and a fire started because when you get enough methane, get a little spark, lightning, whatever, it ignites, they couldn't put it out. It took years till they finally figured how to put that out. So along the Florida Turnpike, where you find some of these larger, let's call it hills, they put good piping systems in to vent some of the methane. Methane has some of its own natural smells. There are places where they flare it off. At an oil processing facility, you'll always see flames on the top of some part of the place because there are the lighter gases as they break down the oil into the different usable parts. They burn off. That's what's called flaring, what they don't need. There's a lot of processes where they end up with waste matter. And over the years, the company I worked for, we not only had engineers, but we had multi-degreed scientists. So I learned more. I mean, I love science, studied it. And I keep studying it to see what we've missed, what we could do better. You don't have to ban everything, because if you ban everything, you have to rebuild everything. Maybe you could fix it so whatever you're using does not pollute. So cleaning it up. Because everything has its downside. We get new toothpaste, new creams, whatever. We don't always understand what the new chemical composition is and what it could do to us long term. That's why we process things. But as we've gotten in this electronic age and we can turn on our phone and look at a camera in the middle of the other side of the planet, that doesn't mean everything is instantaneously in focus and right on the laws or rules or whatever. So my subheading this Saturday was our dignity. I thought about the word, in other words, I said respect, honor, this, that. Well, if you look up dignity, it includes those. Dignity is defined with someone having respect or honor. And it isn't defined that you put on a cloak and you have dignity. No. Do a little on the internet. Like I said, I do my research. I don't always say that I know what the word means and I'm going to tell you. No, I want to make sure I visit it and see what I may have not thought about. So there was one site that was kind of simplistic. It's one of these sites where you could almost look at it as a personal improvement or how to look at yourself and make sure be the best you can be or any of those sayings. And they said, know your own worth. That doesn't mean how much money you have in the bank. It says some people, and I'm not using this to pick on one of my favorite characters who is sitting in the wrong office, but someday we hope we're going to remind him he doesn't belong there, feel the need to flaunt their wealth, their education, their good looks, because they want validation. If they need that validation, it means they're not comfortable with themselves. We know if we do good. And I don't mean we go out, we join the Boy Scouts, and we help everybody cross the street. Everyday life presents us with situations, whether it's holding the door, whether it's a man or a woman coming behind you and not letting it slam in their face, whether it's stopping to let somebody cross the street because they're too slow to make it on the green light. There are just so many things that happen every day. So our dignity really talks about us understanding ourselves. And don't get me wrong. There's something in psychology and in self-understanding called self-criticality. We should always inspect ourselves and say, you know, hey, Alan, why'd you do that? Why didn't you do this? Why didn't you help that person? You don't have to help everyone, but you have to be a part of the human race. That lady was absolutely right. There's one race, the human race. And we, as a species, from the beginning of time, even when there were cavemen, 10 people living in that cave, and we're on the other hill, we look as seedy, as ugly, and we smell as bad as they do because we hadn't got into soaps and no commercials to tell us that we need deodorant. And they may have been lazier than us because humans are inherently kind of lazy. And they realize, well, let them go out and hunt. If the elephant doesn't kill them and they come back with some food, we'll then go kill the men, take the women, rob the food and use their fire, whatever. There are different ways of getting things. But some ways of getting things mean you're giving up something. If you have a conscience, if you are a good human being, you're giving up your self-respect when you steal from people. Revulsion, big word. When I saw that, and by the way, I was trained among other things in the military as military police, but more than just that, chemical, biological, radiological warfare, how to deal with it, what to do. But policing, which is a very important job, somebody's got to kind of be there. That's why we have traffic lights to say whose turn is it to cross. When we have an environment, as I've tried to explain from the beginning of my podcast, as an economist, I've been trying to tell everybody that what we have out there, forget the millionaires and billionaires, they may accumulate bucks and toys and stock certificates. I've never needed that to feel that I'm a good person. Because I know I help people if they need it, if I can. I don't hurt myself to help them, although sometimes it may have been when I've gone into a situation. But revulsion was the only word I could think of when I saw this experienced officer with his knee on the neck of this other human being. And I saw this video. Now, I've been in situations where, because I was always a big kid, larger than the average, I was a little more verbal. If I saw something wrong, I mean, I didn't go into the middle of a gang fight and get myself beaten up because I can't beat up both gangs if one wonders why I'm interfering. people want to kill themselves and they're that stupid, they may be helping us by getting rid of each other. But when I see an incident and there's something I can do, I have helped. Not just the lady across the street, not just the guy to carry something if he needed another hand. And you know what? As they say, it comes back to you. I have been stuck sometimes in my life with a car that got a flat, didn't have a jack, bad weather. And I've had people from all kinds of backgrounds, all kinds of colors, pull over and say, can I do something? Pre-cell phone days, in other words, can they call someone for me? And so humanity is something we have to practice. It's not something that's there and you just let it sit there and it doesn't change. You practice being humane by saying good morning. In New York City, rather than in California years ago, California, people would go around, they have tours to take you to stars' homes. And you'd see them on the street, oh, look, look, it's blah, blah, blah. The person's a human. Their job is to entertain you. You like them, leave them alone. If they see you looking and they want to walk toward you, some of them will. Otherwise, leave them alone. They want to have a normal piece of their life. Don't get me wrong, there are plenty of them who will put cameras all over their house and let you pay to see them going to the bathroom if you're willing to pay. And to me, I think that means your life is kind of empty if that's what you're doing. So, dignity, it's a simple word. So know your own worth, and you can figure it out. You've got to be true to yourself. Then it's be humble with your actions. You can have a lot. You may have accumulated. You may have been lucky. You may have invested in a good stock. You don't have to say, hey, look at this beautiful house I have, and you have a piece of crap. That means that you really don't respect yourself because you only feel better if you can point to someone who's worse. So be humble with your actions. The people I've respected in my life, I didn't know if they had a penny or not, but I knew there was someone I liked talking to, even if it was just, hello, how are you doing? Anything you need? If I had the time, even when I ran groups of people, they knew that I would take my jacket, my tie, if I had to sweep the floors because there was dirt they forgot to clean up in the office, I would do it. So, Mary Bennett, Facebook, good morning. Good morning to all of you. Casey Keith, good morning to you also on Facebook. Lisa, good to hear from you again. Good morning from Michigan. It's again a great state, and if you haven't heard me say it, when I was up in Flint, Michigan, which is on one of the Great Lakes, I realized that they have a sandy soil, just like we do in Florida, except we have this very fine sugar sand, which packs hard. That's why they were able to start Daytona Raceway, and that was a woman who recognized that. So Lisa, up in Flint, they've got these bigger grains of sand that are almost like tiny pebbles. So again, good drainage. Kyoko Chape, good morning, good afternoon from Paris. I've never been in Paris myself, and I'm trying to remember if I flew through their airport. I've flown through so many major cities. London, I've been through their airports over the years many times. Never got to step off and visit the city. I love walking a city, seeing people, looking at the buildings. When I go someplace, that's how I find out how the rest of humanity is. And I know that it may look different because they had different materials available. We as humans use what we've got available till we learned there were other places and we could ship things and we got into the modern era. So I want to thank all of you and any of your friends, please share with them. As I said, if you want to put kids to sleep, run my podcast. So know your own worth. Be humble with your actions. Generate positive energy. That comes back to that simple thing that I know everybody's heard. They would ask me when I was a kid, so how do you look at the glass? Is it half full or half empty? And after a while, and I've repeated this on my podcast, I looked at them and I said, I look at it that there's water in the glass, and if I need it, I have something to drink. What do I care if it's half full or half empty? You want to call me an optimist or a pessimist? Be my guest. See how I act with you. See what I do. Do I value life, friends, and things. Don't let negativity get you down. Now, the science side of me says the whole world is composed of atoms, molecules, and in most cases, it seems on the lowly atomic level, you've got a balance between positive and negative energy. That's why when in science they teach you that the outer rings of Mercury, not the planet, Mercury the element, gold, any element, the outer rings stay there because there's enough energy on the middle that balances it and keeps them, just like we go around our sun. If we put another planet further out, sun may not keep it enough that some other star may pull it away. So we are a balance. The more ancient cultures in Asia, the yin and yang, it's the two opposing elements. They didn't call them positive or negative. They used black and white in some days depicting it. And in a lot of the ancient cultures, they knew there was this balance they tried to achieve in the Indian culture. The reaching of a nirvana, this state of comfort. They didn't say that nothing was wrong, but they wanted to reach a balance. In economics, one of my favorite terms is the word equilibrium. Big word, but I understood it as a kid. It meant if you were on a seesaw, teeter-totter, whatever you want to call it, where one person's on one end of the board, one's on the other. If you adjust yourself, if you were cool, you can make it stand there and both your feet were off the ground and you weren't going up or down. You're kind of hanging there, balanced on that pipe in the middle. Did we understand that we were working together to accomplish something? No, we were kids enjoying ourselves. But we were reaching an equilibrium. We were interacting with each other. I don't mean to get heavy, but we interact every day. If we're not good to our kids when we're in a rush, they may not understand that we have to get to the office and make money to put food on the table. We, who are older and supposedly wiser, should understand enough that we don't want to slap them and say, get out of here, because then they're going to wonder what they did wrong, that daddy hates me. No, you could say, daddy's in a hurry. Remind me later. Let's get back to that. Simple words. Just make sure you recognize the person and you feel for what they're interested in, but you let them understand that you have a purpose that you're working on that you can't stop at the moment. So negativity can get you down if you say, oh, everything sucks and why is this happening? Why is that happening? Look, I'm old enough that I remember the riots in Watts and stuff. I had a gentleman who was much older than I was years ago that I worked with. He was a white older guy. He was actually a pilot from the original Pan Am, I believe, or Transworld, one of those older major airlines. He got into construction, and his company helped rebuild some of these places where the riots went on. When a tornado or a fire or lightning breaks something, okay, it's natural. We help each other rebuild. But do we need to destroy to show our anger? And believe me, if I was standing there, I saw those four policemen. Three of them, when you got the newer shots that somebody else took, were on this man's body. The one man was choking him. He has to know that even if you're the best underwater free diver, you're not going to last for 5 or 8 minutes without air. And a man was saying it. That man had great control to say, I can't breathe. Instead of, to me, first thing you yell is, help, help, help. Especially if you're being accosted by the police. You don't have to fight them, but do something to make people recognize. And the people, the fourth policeman standing at the end of the car, not the three that were on his body, that man stood there, and I know I heard one comment, because it was a 10-minute video that this young lady, a 17-year-old, I understand, who made it, and thank God for her. But she was documenting something that happens every day, life. And unfortunately, people do things really ridiculously, and that's what revulsion is, when it is so bad that I want to puke almost, watching a human being act worse than an animal. And that man with his knee purposely getting his kneecap on the side of his neck, not the side of his leg. And the guy's handcuffed, and he's got three other policemen with him. You're there to protect and serve. You don't like what I'm doing? Throw me in the car. Throw me in the trunk of the car. I don't care. But do not abuse me. That is not what you were trained to do. I was trained as military police. They taught us many, many ways of controlling a person, short of killing them, okay? You don't want to take a life unless there's no other choice and they're trying to take yours. This man was obviously not doing that. But what does it do for us? Get out in the streets, block an intersection, sit there with so many people they couldn't arrest you, because then you're showing your revulsion as a human being to what's going on. How long do we have to go on? We, and I say we, Europeans and other people, brought Africans and other people to this continent to use them to develop things. Almost 200 years before we were a country. The people who've grown out of them are part of our country. Period. When we waste our time hating other people, you know what? Nobody forces you to live on the same block. Nobody forces you to live in the apartment. Nobody forces you to sit down to dinner with them. If I don't like someone, no matter who they are, no matter what they look like, I can still be polite. I know they have a right to exist. I wouldn't be unique as a human if I didn't have my own idiosyncrasies of what I like, the colors I enjoy, the movies I go to. But it doesn't mean that the other people liking different things are bad, or because they act different ways, listen to different music. I've told anyone of friends of mine from any background, any race, gay, straight, doesn't matter. I said, don't ask me to certify to your lifestyle, because I'm not asking you to certify mine. So show your revulsion and your anger by opening it up. As I said, when I started this podcast, I was happy that people who were apathetic in 2016 and didn't come out to vote and allowed us to get a man who's changing everything to make himself feel better, who never admits a mistake. You go back and look at his history. Again, I grew up in New York City. I'm a few years older than him. I know he was in the papers. He needed attention. His parents didn't give it to him, so he needed the public to give it to them. Does that mean I excuse his actions? No. But it does mean that I want everybody else to know they got to get out there and vote. Don't decide that Biden didn't vote for this or he picked someone who's the wrong color. It's a woman, but she's brown or she's Asian or whatever. He has to pick a person that he can deal with, that has the ability to help fix this government, because it's going to take the next year or two to restore all the departments that Trump has gotten rid of. And that's a separate case. I told you, the man is intelligent enough to know that if he saves money and then puts it in his own pocket through another door, you're going to look at the budget and say, oh, yeah, we're spending up to date. But, yeah, where are all the people that are supposed to be in our government protecting us, stopping flights from China? They've traced the virus in this modern day. It came through Europe to New York, to the East Coast, and then spread. A virus, you don't put a fence up. And I told you, the man didn't care about a fence. He cared about having a pile of money that he managed and gave the contracts out to someone to put money in his pocket. He doesn't care about self-respect. Again, please come along to Paris. Believe me, I've been to probably, and I'm going to guess, I've always known, unlike the president, that we have at least around close to 200 countries on this planet. It changes. Paris is one of the places I'd love to go to. I've never been to. And again, I love it because of it's a city, how it was founded, the systems they built, the way they built it in a circular way. I forget the guy was L'Enfant or someone else who designed some of the early parts of Paris. They designed it like the spoke of a wheel with spokes going off. which, by the way, goes back to the nature of an atom, which has a central core and radiates out and keeps everything together. Science and people, they don't realize how they all interact and influence each other. Message, we're in a state of unrest. I am still in shock watching a man die in front of our eyes. You can't unsee that. You don't want to unsee that. You want to keep that in your mind. Because if I were there, I hate to say it, I know those policemen had guns. I know myself. I've done it in certain situations where I said, what are you doing? Stop. I don't care if they're going to arrest me. I know they could try and harm me, but that may actually break up what they're doing. Don't put your life in danger, but do act. If there's something going on, take your friends with you and walk over and say, hey, can we help you lift him into the car? He'll get the idea. Somebody said that when I was listening to one of the copies of that tape. And it was probably the policeman who was standing at the back. How do I talk to my brother officers and tell them they're idiots right now? I heard the remark clearly. It was, get up and get in the car. How could the guy get up? Three officers are on him. So the bottom line is, revulsion is a strong teacher. It's like remembering if your dog shits and you take it for a walk, you decided to have that dog clean up after it. We're not your mother. We didn't pick the dog for you. We shouldn't have to clean up after you. Take care of your pet. Take care of your things. Don't leave your car in the middle of the street because you were in a hurry to get in the house and you're blocking the roadway. I mean, so many little things. So look up how to have dignity and self-respect. And again, know your own worth. Be humble with your actions. Generate positive energy. You can talk about what you've done if somebody asks you, but don't make a big deal out of it. Don't let negativity get you down. We all have negative and positive energy. Without it, we don't have the ability to balance this world. So, interesting little thing I came across because it was in my mind as a financial person. Before we got the little check from the president and the rest of it, which, remember, they only wanted to give $2 billion, and the House of Rep gave them $8 billion, one of the first bills, second one for $2.2 trillion. So the White House sends out all these cards that they mail out so you'll know it's the president. Keep your distance, cover your mouth. We got these postcards. I came across it finally. I didn't have to do a lot of research. The White House's coronavirus postcards cost the postal system $28 million between the cost of the cards, the printing, the delivery, and everything else. And I am one of those older people who get Social Security and got a little check that came in the mail. As I talked about on another podcast, the president used the U.S. Treasury's mail budget because the envelope was a normal U.S. Treasury. There are penalties for misusing this envelope and the rest of it. He mailed me a letter. Now, let me tell you this. George Bush, during 2001 and 2008, he put some comments in a letter to the people when it was going out, but it was under the U.S. Treasury. They mentioned that this is what we're going through and you could do X or Y or call this. This president put a letter in that Treasury Department that has the White House seal on top. The front is in English. The back is in Spanish. Remember, this is the man who early on pissed and moaned about a judge that he didn't like because he was Mexican. He was born in the United States, Mexican heritage. Donald Trump, if you look to his heritage, forgetting his mother, it's from Germany. I would take Angela Merkel in a heartbeat and send him over to Germany. They can have him. We'll take her. She's a well-trained, intelligent person, but look at her when she acts. She doesn't run away from things. She knows her strength, but she uses her brain, and she's done great things for her country. As I said, I'd take her in a heartbeat. Trump yesterday gets on because, remember, I told you all he's really doing that nobody's paying enough attention to is stealing money from our treasury one way or another. As I said, at this point, it's over a $500 million that he's put in his own companies and his own pockets. And I will freely give my services to conduct the audit and show people exactly what to look for. Because I've dealt with the federal government many times, budgets big and small. So what happens? Trump gives a speech, and he's doing everything to divert because he doesn't want you to see what he's really doing, which is stealing. First 2 years, total Republican Congress. All they were interested in was shoving every judge, qualified or not, in there, who would be there for the next 40 years. So what does he do? He comes out and he says, China's been eating our lunch. China's been this. China's been that. Look, as an economist, I understood when China was going to open up, they were smart, like any businessman opening up a business. And that's what a country is in some cases. They said they had resources. They had people. They had education. They just needed it. They didn't have the money. So we helped fund it. We, from the most powerful nation, shifted a lot of our production over there. So right now, if something happened like this pandemic, we're not making masks, we're not making ventilators, we're not making the fluids to hold the test swabs. Excuse me? Do you understand what independence really means? We founded this country to get away from autocratic leaders. We wanted a country that protects our assets that we need. Not with this man. So he talked about China's bad and WHO is bad, that organization, the World Health Organization. Xi Jinping, if that's his name, if I'm remembering, President Xi from China, he came out a couple of weeks ago and he said, well, we're going to put $2 billion into WHO. Now, there's another world organization that they're going to dominate. Not just eat our lunch, our breakfast, our dinner, and everything else, because we're too stupid. And we let our leaders, these wealthy people, own these companies. And I'm not against wealth. I would love to be wealthy. That's nothing wrong with that. That's what this country's founded on. Free enterprise and capitalism. But not where they decide that they're going to tell us what we can do or not. You have an autocrat right now. That's what's sitting in the White House. One of his people, Betsy DeVos, from, again, a very rich family. Over veterans protest. I'm a veteran. Trump vetoes a measure that would block student loan rules. Now, there are these private organizations that Betsy DeVos favors, charter schools. Now, all charter schools are not bad. Depends who's running them or what the reason. But charter schools, and I talked about it probably a year ago on these podcasts. I met a man who sets up charter schools. He uses it. It's a tax haven. He gets your public dollars that don't go into the public schools because you get these people that are not your old Republicans. They're people who want to divert money from us to them. I have no problem with free enterprise. I have problems with people picking our pocket and telling us they're doing us a favor. Please understand it. How do you feel about the executive order against Twitter and other social media platforms? I have a great technical staff. Mainly one. Fantastic. And sent me the blurb about this when it was starting to come out. I laughed before I answered it, but I sent the statement which my technical staff puts out there for me. I'm not that great at putting stuff out there on the internet. I haven't gotten that comfortable with it yet. When I saw that, the statement I gave her to put out there was, well, that would be like the president shoving cotton balls in his own mouth and then taping it over. Because this man, a couple of years ago, when they asked him, well, you keep sending all these tweets out. What's official notification? He basically said, my tweets are official notification. Now, let's remember, they say you can't put a president in jail. But you can start a case against him. You can wait to enforce the decision. Everybody who has something against what he's doing, speak up. Start it. There are Republicans who've started organizations because they're disgusted enough with what this man shows as the way he operates. And by the way, Mitch McConnell could put all the judges he wants in because that's why he called the Senate back. He's not doing anything we need. He's doing something he wants. Trump's letting him. He's too stupid, and Mitch McConnell is not a stupid man, but he's too stupid to recognize that if Trump gets his way and refuses to leave the White House, and we get too apathetic and don't go out and vote this monster out of office, no matter who we vote for, pick a person on the other side in a major party and vote them in. Anything is better than this demonic idiot that's in there. I don't want him dead. I want him out of running our government because he's running it into the ground. He's getting rid of, when I used to go and I heard about the ugly American when I was younger, it was people who acted nasty to other people when they went to countries. Not all Americans, but some. When I went there, I went in their markets, their museums. I wanted to learn their culture, understand how they thought, what was important to them. And you know what? I never had trouble making an agreement that we both liked. Didn't cost me money. I didn't have to pay anybody off. And when I faced people, when I'd go there and they'd look at me like, who are you coming in our museum? I'd try and use a term that was in their language. I don't speak many different languages. I keep telling people I'm still working on my English. So as a person, there are things that you can have that is dignity sums it up, your self-respect, your worth, your honor. Don't get me wrong. If somebody attacks me and they're going to kill me, I will kill them. I will not hesitate if that's the only answer. But I also know that I have the ability to mitigate what's going on by trying to make them look at what's happening. I don't have to, I can stand in the streets and protest and carry a sign. But that's not going to change what's going on. The way that we're going to change what happens to different people in this planet is to remember, would we want to be on the ground? I knew from years ago, because I'm a numbers person, that pretty soon white people will be a minority in this country. Would you like to find out that when everybody else is in the majority, that they treat you like you don't matter? Is that what you want to look forward to? And it's not you, it's your son, daughter, grandchildren. I'm happy when I see children in kindergarten or pre-K playing together because nobody's told them that other kid is different. They're not different. They're a human being. Get along with them. If you don't like them, you don't have to live in the same house with them. You don't have to eat dinner with them. But treat them as a human being. If they do something wrong, the law will handle it. File a case if you need it. But we're not animals. We don't have to go out. But there are some that act like animals. And the president is stoking this. Those people who came out delayed an hour and a half before they made their conference, before they talked yesterday about arresting and everything else. And they do have a scenario of specifications that they must do so it goes in court and it's effective. So that's what takes time. Things aren't instant. A video is. They saw it. They should have arrested him right away. If I was standing there, I hope I would have done what I've always done. Try to break it up. Not by attacking the policeman, but by being in his face and saying, you're killing this man. I've done things like that before, even in foreign countries where I am the minority. You just have to pick your battle and understand how to do it. It doesn't take a lot of training, but you can get good at it after a while. As I said, my alter ego had a lot of stuff to report on. There have been a lot of things going on. I've got things I wanted to say. I've said before that we are in a war. We've been invaded by a virus. If we went to the front, we'd get it funded. If we had a hurricane, a mudslide, a flood, whatever. It comes out of the money that we, the people, put in the federal government. I told you, we own the government. We, our federal government, one share each. You can't buy more shares. Each of us have one share of this government as a citizen. And I told you the average value of that one share is at least $200,000. It's a lot of money. But when you multiply that by the millions of citizens, you end up, as I said about a month or two ago, I said that the value of all the assets we own after all the debts are paid is at least $66 trillion to minimally $100 trillion. So what are we saying? We've been out of work. We've been this. We just have some idiots who don't want to distribute it because it's his cookie jar. He doesn't want to get it go. We need a central leader. If we have to wait to November, then we have to wait. It's our fault, not his fault, because we were the ones who were apathetic enough in 2016 to listen to the bullshit and saying, well, Hillary will probably win. He doesn't need my vote. She doesn't need my vote. No, it's our country. No matter how much money they spend, no matter what kind of commercials, Trump's going to now tell you everything good he did. Infrastructure, he's this great builder. His wall falls over in a big breeze, okay? Because he was only interested in getting control of the cash. If he's that big a builder, do you know how many things we had? In Michigan, we had some flooding. Two dams broke in the last month. One of them, the Corps of Engineers, which is part of our government, those people know what they're talking about. They said that that dam needed fixing. We had heavy rains. It broke. It flooded. I think nobody died in those floods. I don't remember if I've heard the final figures. But the waste of human life and effort because we didn't fix that dam, we have, even as young a country as we are, we have a lot of dams around this country that are called earthen dams. Earthen dams are subject to a lot of things that can happen to them. They're not all these big hydroelectric like the Hoover Dam that'll take an earthquake to knock it over. No, an earthen dam, water intrudes under it, enough of a flood can wash a piece away, and then once you get a little break, the whole thing starts to collapse. We know these dams. We could put people to work. We're technically up to 40 million people out of work right now. Franklin Delano Roosevelt, from a very wealthy family, he loved his country. He recognized how the people were. And he put together what they call the WPA, the War Powers Act, I believe is the simple explanation of those letters. And they put people together building things. Rockefeller Center in New York has some of the greatest murals in it. They put artists to work doing those murals. So they had a job. People love the dignity of working and getting paid for it. People don't have to stand out on the streets. People don't have to riot. We just have to make the government respect that we know, no matter how much money you have, no matter how many commercials you play, we know what's good for us. We know we can buy local. We can open up a factory and make our own shoes if we want. We chose, not we the people, but the people who wanted to make more profit, to offshore more things. There's a good side to it. Everything has a good side. Nothing is totally negative or totally positive. We helped build up one of the densest countries, China. But they used a lot of the money they got from us to acquire inroads into other continents. They went into Panama and used the money that they made on their cheaper labor from us putting it over there so we could have some couple of $1 trillion as corporations offshore that we have more profit. They use their money to build up their Navy, their Air Force. They've sent the rocket to the moon. They've blockaded part of the South China Sea with our money. Do we want to wait till we have to fight them to death? We don't have to attack them. We just have to stop being stupid and handing our money away because someone in charge decides they want more profit and paying less taxes. The only reason America built up was because we all participated. Pardon me, my throat's dry. We paid our fair share. In the video, young people were standing there and letting the cop do that was killing George Floyd to take his knee off him. He did not care. The law is not the same for everyone. That is fact. It's not a fact. Read the law. It's the interpretation or enforcement of the law. The law doesn't have a color in it. We had the stupidity where we had to pass certain amendments to decide, oh, women have a right to vote also. Oh, blacks are humans too. I mean, how stupid are we? We had China Exclusion Acts. I talked about that probably a year ago. Well, we didn't let a major part of this planet in this country, except when they were here to do our laundry or cook food. They were smart enough to be on their own and save their money and live well. I respect people who do their work and take care of themselves and don't cause problems. We cause our own problems. People who were standing around, especially if there was a group of them, in group dynamics, sometimes you get someone who knows they can lead if they know the rest of the group. And they may be afraid because you have four policemen there and others right around the area who were standing there and they all had guns. It doesn't mean I can't walk up and say, "Excuse me, officer, I think you're killing this man." Now, I'm a citizen standing up. I'm white. Is he going to say I'm helping him? He could say, "Go away." I'll say, "Yeah, I'll go away as soon as you get your knee off him." What is he going to do, arrest me? I'd be the most famous kid on the planet at that point. Am I looking for that? No. But I'm recognizing that this man is being killed. Seinfeld, which was very popular, one of their final episodes, they were in some little dinkwater town, and they had a little video camera or whatever, and they're filming something that was happening. Now, we all laugh at the Seinfeld. But they're all, like Aesop's Fables and other famous books, teaching us about what we should understand about how to act and be a human. They were there observing it. They arrested Seinfeld and his friends because they were observing a crime and doing nothing about it. Did they have to run in and lose their life? No. So there are many examples in books, in life. It's all around us. We have to respect ourselves. We have to say, if that were me, what would I want people to do? We allowed that policeman to kill that man. We should be revolted at ourselves, not go out and break windows, stand out in the square and say, "Your time is limited." Carry a sign saying, "Mr. Do Nothing, you never put an infrastructure bill out there. You could have easily done that. You had a whole Republican Congress for 2 years. So again, we have to recognize he's not running it. He caused us to spend more money. He's causing hospitals because they had shortages on their budget because they weren't getting paid for surgeries that people were doing under their things. They were treating the population of our country from attack by an invading virus. Where is this president who increased our military budget and got rid of the epidemiologists? As I said before, that latest whistleblower, Dr. Bright, he was in charge of a thing called BARDA, B-A-R-D-A, I forget the full name of it. He was not ordering the chloroquine or whatever that the president wanted to stock, that president said we should stockpile it. He wants to, again, spend money so that he gets a taste of it. On the streets, they order, if you get a loan or somebody would give you a loan, it was something called Vigorish, the interest they charged. Or if you did something, a favor for someone, he'd say, "Hey, I want my taste," meaning, "What's my piece?" Everybody understood they get a piece of the action. That's all this guy is interested in. And he'll tell you anything, and he'll stand up there with his hair plastered in place, with that little pursed lips. You know what? Every time I see him purse his lips, I want to put a cookie in his mouth so that I don't hear him and he can choke on the crumbs. Follow me on Instagram. It's AE, the word equals, then MC squared. Follow me on Facebook. Instagram is one. Same thing as Facebook. AE, the word equals, then the letters MC and the word squared. You'll find me out there. If you can't find the conversation, download the Culture Radio app. Culture. It's not just in yogurt. And on iTunes and Google Play, we're out there. Stitcher, Spotify. I don't even know these things. I know the names. I've heard them. But we're out there. I'm looking to get out there more for this election because I want to specifically talk about what this president has taken out of our pockets. He can talk about the Make America Great. No, no, no. The only great you could use for him is G-R-A-T-E. Take the E from the beginning and put it at the end of the word. grate. When you grate something, you run it over a grater.